Hi, everybody, it's Babs, and you're listening to Life Minute TV.
She's known as America's favorite grandma, and she's just written her first children's book. New York Times bestselling author and social media star Barbara Babs Costello brings her signature warmth and timeless tips to every page. She recently joined us at the Life Minute Studios to tell me all about it and more. This is a Life Minute with Babs Costello.
Babs Costello in the house. Yay!
Oh, so happy to be here, Joanne. This is great.
So glad to have you. And congratulations on your new book.
Yes. So did your mother ever tell you? I use that tagline on my social media. When I started that, people reached out to me and said, Babs, I'm so happy. I feel so warm when you say that. I feel a connection with my mom. Or I feel I'm learning something that maybe my mom didn't teach me, but something new. And so there was a lot of like family outreach, you know, like we were part of, and I always say we're part of one big family. And so that really struck a chord. However, before I was Babs on social media, I was a preschool teacher. I actually founded my own school in Ridgefield, Connecticut called The Growing Tree. And this book is dedicated to all my Growing Tree students who passed through those doors over many, many years. And so I had a front row seat to witness the wonder and magic of childhood. And I thought, isn't it fitting that after reading, I don't know, hundreds of books to children, that I should maybe take what I've learned from working with children and write a children's book. And what I've learned was that children sometimes have a hard time expressing their emotions. And so this book validates and acknowledges children's feelings. And even though the world is telling them something, like we have those timeless sayings like hold your horses, or don't cry over spilled milk, or don't sweat the small stuff, I have seven of those timeless sayings in this book. And each one is looked at through the eyes of a mother. Did your mother ever tell you? And giving her child permission to be that child. So even though the world says, don't cry over spilled milk, but your mother tells you, of course you can cry over spilled milk. Everybody feels badly when they make a mistake or things don't go the way they should. And so you cry. But then after you're done crying, you dry your tears and know that problems come because eventually you're going to grow from that too. And I'm here for you. And so that's kind of was the mindset of celebrating children and their feelings.
And this book is really for the person reading too.
Yes.
The parent, the caregiver, you can learn something as
you
well.
You can learn. For sure. You know what, Joanne? There are seven, as I said, seven life lessons. And we start with acknowledging the feelings of a child to a teaching lesson then, to go to the next step. You're going to face issues, but we're going to get through them together. Or we have hold your horses. Well, did your mother ever tell you, sometimes you can let those horses run when you're excited about your birthday or something that's coming that you're so excited. But then after you express all that excitement, take a breath or two. And practicing patience is important too. So there's a lesson to be learned in every one of these seven little life lessons. And there is wisdom to be gained too.
Do you have a favorite?
You know, I have a lot of favorites, but one in particular is birds of a feather flock together, right? But did your mother ever say, it's okay. You don't always have to hang out with people who are just like you. Sometimes those colorful birds are waiting for you to extend that friendship. And they might look different, but maybe it's that bird that's sitting alone. That's not in the book, but when you read it, it's like I feel that it can be applied to school. What about that bird that's sitting alone at the lunch table all by themselves? And you're with all the birds who are flocking together who are the same. Why don't you fly over there and extend friendship? That's one thing I always said at the Growing Tree. We're all together. We're all friends. So I think with the bullying issue today and all of that, I think that's very, very poignant, to be friends with all the different birds too.
For sure. Any more children's books coming?
I think maybe. First of all, this is a wonderful, I'm so happy, I shouldn't be bragging about my own book, but it really is a special book. It's for so many ages. I know that picture books are usually 4 to 8. That's kind of what the editor deems appropriate. But I have a 3-year-old granddaughter who loves these pictures, and we'll adjust her 3. And the last page of the book, after coming in from the rain, the mother is now embracing the child and saying, no matter what, I'm here for you. You're my treasure. I love you. You're my life. And I will always be with you. And Willa, now we've read that book to her, but she'll go to that page and kiss the mom and the child. Just up and down with that. And there's one, don't sweat the small stuff. But the thing is with a child, nothing's small. Everything is big in a child's world, right? And so there's a picture of her being afraid to miss the bus. And Willa will look at that and go, Charlie and Ford missed the bus. They run to the bus. So there's a connection.
Yes, yes.
So this book really is about connection and conversation. Because there's so many back and forth you can have with your child. Like maybe that's another thing. I always think that children have a hard time expressing their feelings. Like if you ask them when they come home, how was your day? Fine. You know, and you don't get any information.
Yes.
But if you, when you're reading this book, there's a lot of opportunity for them to express how they're feeling. And I think that's real important to open up that can. You know?
For sure. How did you become so wise? What do you attribute it to?
You know, I think a lot of it truly, I mean, a little bit is age. With age comes some wisdom, right? Hopefully. But I think working with kids, they teach you. My own children have taught me, you know, yes, you're guiding them and forming them and loving them, but you're learning a lot through them. You know, I remember when my kids were growing up, they would say, Art Linkletter, you probably don't remember Art Linkletter.
Sure.
Kids say the darndest things,
yeah.
Right?
Yep.
I used to write down some of the things my kids said to me because I thought, that is incredible. That has such foresight. I can't believe they said that, you know? So I think you learn along the way, but you have to be open to it too. I think you have to be open to never stop learning.
Right. What was your childhood like growing up? Did your mom tell you a lot of these things too?
You know, my mom came from a big Italian family. My grandmother came over to marry my grandfather. It was an arranged marriage. And my mother was the oldest girl of 9 children.
Wow.
And you know, they were a bit like the boys, worked a lot, but the women stayed home and my mother helped my grandmother. So she never went to high school because my grandmother needed help with the other 7 children. And my mother would say that she didn't really want to go because her clothes were not very nice.
Mm-hmm.
I know, it's so amazing what they went through.
Yes.
Where we complain about, you know, not having our coffee the right temperature. And here they struggled just to feed kids and make ends meet. Mm-hmm. But my mom was really a go-getter. Even though she didn't go to high school, she went to beauty school. They asked her to be a teacher at the beauty academy.
Wow.
But she couldn't because she didn't have her high school diploma. But she was a seamstress. She made my sister, I only have one older sister, just the 2 of us, and she made us our winter coats. She made us dresses. Mm-hmm. When we had a birthday, my sister reminded me of this. I was too young to remember. But she made all the guests aprons out of like organza.
Aww.
Fabric.
Oh,
everybody
wow.
had aprons as like a favor. Oh. So she could, she was an amazing baker. She was an incredible cook. She had a catering business. So what did I learn from my mom? I learned that you could do anything if you put your mind to it.
Awesome.
And that we all have gifts. And not all of those gifts are found in school. They're found inside of you too.
What would your current self tell your younger self?
I wish you hadn't worried so much. It's going to be okay. That all the things that maybe you thought weren't going to, you know, and Joanne, I have to tell you, I didn't plan this. I was a retired teacher. And I was watching my grandkids. And then my youngest, I have 4 children, encouraged me to make a TikTok. And that was 5 years ago, maybe 6 now. And here I am, I'm still at it. And now I've done like all these things I never thought in a million years I would do. But I would tell my younger self, life is an adventure. Take a breath. It's going to be fine. It's going to be great. Yeah, there's going to be ups and downs. But, you know, your faith is going to get you through those down periods. And it's going to give you resilience to as you're going up too. Life is a gift. Unwrap it.
I love it. What about secrets to a good marriage?
Even though birds of a feather flock together, you should hang out with the birds that are different too. Bill and I have very similar backgrounds. So we both went to Catholic high schools in Chicago. I went to the girls' school, Trinity High School. He went to Fenwick, the all-boys school. And, you know, we met in high school, but we didn't start dating until college. But I have to say that I think that it's got to be give and take. It's got to be respect, right? We never argued in front of the kids, ever. We would never have, you know, we argued. Everybody has disagreements. I don't care what kind of marriage you have. But we always save that for when we were together and not in front of any of the children. We prioritized. We worked hard and all that business, but we went on dates still.
Yeah.
And I think we both have a great sense of humor. And I think our faith really has bonded us together. So we have hope. Like, you know, there are times where, you know, the job situation was a little unsettling and all that, but you got through it. You got through it together. You have to have each other's back. My husband will tell you, it's 100% and 100%. It's not 50-50.
All right. And what about America's favorite grandma? Are your grandkids jealous of that, sharing you with America?
I have to tell you, it is hysterical. They really lean into it, I have to say. So my grandkids are a bit older, but when that first hit, you know, the airways, I have a grandson who actually goes to UConn. He's a golfer for UConn. He's golfing right now. When he was in high school, he would be in one of his classes. Maybe it was a study hall or something. And he had a lot of girls in the study hall. And all of a sudden, I get a phone call or I get a text. Grammy, are you available for FaceTime? And I'd be like, sure. I thought you were in school. He'd FaceTime me. And he goes, I want to introduce you to some of your fans. And so he would be like recruiting people. Like, he'd be like, Bamps is on. So I talked to the kids.
Made him famous.
The teacher waved, you know. So, oh, yeah, he said, Grammy, I think we could sell your book at the bookstore. He went to a co-ed Catholic school. And I didn't even know they had a bookstore, tell you the truth. But Matt was ready to get the book in, available for the students. They're very supportive. Aww. And all of them have been on something. Well, they're all in the cookbooks, for sure. But all of them actually are on my reels. You know, who am I cooking with? We went to France, you know, we did a house swap. And my little one, Ford, was eating mussels. And and we were making mussels together and all this business. And here, I think at the time, he may have been 4 years old. So everyone has had their input.
I love it. And
they love it.
How many grandchildren do you have?
I have nine.
Nine.
I have four children and now nine grandkids.
Amazing.
Ages 23 to 3. Well, it just turned 3 about a week ago.
And what's going on with your home? You have a beautiful home.
Yes. So, the basket house. So Liz and I bought that. I mean, Bill, Liz and I bought that like 3 years ago. It's 3.5 years. And we really just are slowly moving in now. It's 1,500 square feet. There's only one closet in the house. There's no garage, no basement, and no attic. So we have to really downsize, you know. So right now we're spending probably 3 days a week there. But it really has become the landing place for Brunch with Babs. So that's like our new home, you know? And it's amazing because we did, it's 1830s, it was a blacksmith shop. In 1850s, it was a basket shop. So in renovating it, because we really had to renovate it from the bottom up, because we're on a river and we were in a flood zone. And so FEMA was like, you have to raise this 2 feet, including the Historical Society, if we wanted to do anything to the house. And the house needed a big facelift. So that took about a year of going back and forth and finally being able to raise the thing. And we were worried she went cold together, 1830s. But we raised her. And then in renovating her, we respected the history of the house. All the first floors are terracotta. They're all the brick. As a nod to the blacksmith shop. There's wicker everywhere, and we have a lot of lattice everywhere. So the lattice is a nod to the baskets. And there's baskets everywhere, Joanne, I have to tell you. So in the family room, I call it the library. And it's a two-story library. And you look up, and the whole ceiling is covered with baskets.
Awesome.
So it's really cool. I have to say, it is a gem. And I almost feel that, she's just perfect. Honest to goodness.
I think so, too. What is your secrets for not getting stressed, like when you're entertaining or anything?
Yeah, anything. Yes. So I think you have to put it in perspective. What's the goal of having friends over? I always say, and I used to stress out, trust me, but it's not necessarily being the hostess with the mostess, right? It's welcoming your friends to your home, and then being of service and encouraging a community and camaraderie and friendship. I think the secret is plan ahead, get as much as you can done ahead of time, and also supplement with store-bought stuff. It doesn't have to be always, you know, you don't have to make bread every time you're having guests over from start to finish kind of thing.
Right.
So supplement it with some store-bought things, but serve it beautifully. And also you want to be present, right? You don't want to be in the kitchen 24/7. So make sure that you're with the friends. Do as much as you can beforehand and supplement with store-bought things.
I love it. Was there ever a time, like you said, that you were not like that? And
oh, yes. I would be so stressed out. Honest to goodness, when I was younger, right? And you had children, too. So the kids had to be tended to and, you know, get them kind of settled down before the doorbell rang and guests were coming in. And, you know, at that time, you got dressed up. I remember being in heels, walking to the door, opening the door, click, 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 you know. Nowadays, it's just like, we're more casual and we're more laid back.
Some good things are getting older.
That's right.
What's your favorite brunch item?
I have an entire brunch menu, a Mother's Day brunch in Celebrate with Babs. So I have it's called the Perfect Brunch Casserole, and it's made with a pound of bacon, 18 eggs. You make your own cheese sauce, and you need an egg slicer for this. Truly, because you don't want to, and you have to have all those eggs sliced beautifully. So you make your bacon, crumble that, slice those eggs, and layer it like a lasagna, and with fresh herbs in between each layer. And then you top it off with that cheese and some breadcrumbs and bake it. It is to die for.
That sounds so good.
Yeah, it's really good.
Was there anything you did growing up, like, you know, rituals that you guys had to do as a family?
Oh, yes. Yeah, coming from an Italian family, you know the rituals. It all revolves around food and the hustle and bustle of foods that they only made once a year. And my grandmother, rest her soul, she would start her tomato plants Ash Wednesday. She put the seeds in a egg carton and with her soil and put all the, and then she'd have them all like stored like in an extra room, like, you know, that got sun and she started her plants from seeds and all that business. But probably the baking, it was mostly food that we had, like this, the rituals, like Christmas Eve. It would be, I'm one of 22 grandkids. So it would be all the grandkids coming. I'll tell you other rituals though. My grandfather made his own wine. So everyone in the fall would go to my grandparents' house. That's 9 children with their spouses. So 18 adults, not including my grandparents. And they would all help my grandfather make that wine. And he had like 3 oak barrels in the basement. One new, one halfway fermented, and then one ready to draw. And I remember my aunts and uncles purple with crushing those grapes with the machine and all this, all hand. It was no electric machines or anything. So I would say I have so many memories of that, of the grapes in the fall, of my grandmother's Italian cookies that I don't make. But they're the fried cookies, the ribbons.
Yes.
Have you made those?
Oh, yes.
Yes.
So I have those. Adam Priester.
Yeah. See, and I really need to get my pasta machine, you know?
Yes.
Because you need that for those, because you've got to cut the ribbons, right?
Yep. And it was all one by one.
One by one as they curl, and then that oil, and then you're out, and then the powdered sugar. Oh, you could eat the whole thing, couldn't you? But I think the whole idea of family and tradition. So even in Celebrate with Babs, which is my first cookbook, I talk about it takes 2 years to make a tradition. And people will tell me, well, I never had anything in my family. Well, in 2 years, you will establish your own. Make your Christmas cookies with your grandkids or your children. Make a gingerbread house every year, right? You know, at Easter, you know, our tradition was hiding the Easter baskets when the kids came down. And then doing an Easter egg hunt. Yeah. So those are some of the things that, you know, you can establish any tradition. Just keep doing it.
Yes,
that's
right,
all.
Right. I love it. So good. That was
great. I could talk to you all day, Joya.
Me too.
Yeah.
To see more of this interview, visit our website, lifeminute.tv. And don't forget to subscribe to our podcast, Life Minute TV.